Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Well, welcome everybody to our new series, Parenting in the 21st Century. Can we make some noise and welcome Church Online, all seven Liquid locations, Mountainside, Garwood, Somerset, we love you, Middlesex, Passaic, Princeton, New Jersey. Hey, welcome guys. I'm Pastor Tim, so happy you're here for our fall kickoff. And let me be super clear, this series isn't just for parents, but rather about parents, including the parents who raised you. Show of hands, how many have parents? Okay, you were born, good on you, all right. How many of you are parents? Raise your hand if you're parent, your mom or dad. How about step-parents? Step-parents, any grandmas or grandpas? Uncles or aunts, okay? You should know Liquid is a very diverse church. We all grew up in different kinds of homes. We have people in this church who grew up in a traditional two-parent home. We have people, some of you right now are in blended families. Some of you are on a second, maybe a third marriage, or maybe you're raising your kids as a single parent. If that's you, you are my hero. We want to help you today. We have families who have adopted kids or are fostering children. We come from all these different backgrounds that shape us in profound ways, right? How we handle conflict or don't, how we discipline or don't, how we raise and shape and mold our children. I'm kind of curious, if I asked you to describe the home you grew up in, what would you say? Sociologists say there's three kinds of homes. There's a closed home, an open home, and a random home. One author describes them like this. He says, in a closed home, parents are super strict. Families operate on military time, okay? Kids up at 7, breakfast 7:15. There's a protein and a starch. Kids have their shoes, backpacks on by 7:27. Water bottle filled by 7:28. In the car, 7:29. Mom hits reverse 7:30. If you're not in, you're not getting a ride. Unless they're homeschooling, okay? Everything is run according to a very tight ship. Dinner is at 6, not 5:55, not 6:05, 6 o'clock. Tuesday's pasta, Thursday's cauliflower pizza. Sit down and eat it. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. There's a chart for chores. There's a schedule. Jammies on by 7:30. You brush your teeth by 7:34. Lights out at 8 o'clock sharp, okay? No screens. And then the kid's like, what if I stay up? At 8:05, you will see a very large spanking spoon coming your way, okay? How many of you grew up in a home where parents actually use the spanking spoon? Anybody? Use a spoon, paddle you a little bit? A chancleta, maybe a flip-flop, okay? Or a belt? I mean, I'll be honest, when I grew up and I got out of line, my mom swatted me with a wooden spaghetti spoon. Now, today, she'd be arrested. But in a closed home, there's just lots of rules. They're written and unwritten, and you break them at your peril. Now, an open home is organized, but not so many rules. Kids are up around 7-ish. They get to pick what they want to wear to school. Parents have boundaries, but there's still some flexibility. Dinner's between 5 and 6:30, and yeah, you can have some screen time, but lights out by 9, okay? You can have a friend sleepover, but only on Fridays. A little more flexible, a little more open. And then there is the random home, where mom and dad are kind of checked out, and basically kids run the show, right? Everything is just chaos, right? Skittles and Mountain Dew for breakfast. There's no family schedule. No one really sits down for dinner together. There's no budget. Like, the TV's always on. Things are chaotic. Kids go to bed whenever they want. There are kids you don't even know sleeping on your couch. You're like, what? There's no rhyme or reason. It's a random home. Now, quick show of hands. Which of these describe the home you grew up in? How many would say you grew up in a closed home? Raise your hand, okay? If that's you, you're like, yes, sir, okay? How about open home? You grew up in an open home? Okay, a lot of hands there. Anybody random home? More of a kind of a random household? Okay, my family was somewhere between a closed and open home. In fact, let me show you a picture of my parents. This is my family growing up. You can see my dad there. That's my older brother, Ted, on the end. He's 5 years older than me. And that's my mom, Elaine. And now you know where I got my hair from, okay? I remember mom just kind of, she'd spray Aquanet on her Buffon every morning. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked 9-to-5 at Prudential for 40 years. Very stable home life. He'd drive us to school at 7:45, pick us up at 3:15. Now, my mom and dad, understand, I never remember them raising their voice in our house. And I thought, that's because they never fight. But I realized as they learned, they kept their conflict behind closed doors, because that's what you did as polite Christians. We went to 9:15 church on Sunday mornings, Sunday night prayer meeting. Wednesday was youth group, Friday was boys' brigade. So it was structured, pretty disciplined, but Most of all, I really felt loved. I really, really did. Okay, that stable, warm, loving environment, a lot of boundaries, but I felt loved. My wife, Colleen, on the other hand, grew up in a sort of random home. Now, just enjoy this photo, okay? Just enjoy this, okay? That is my wife, Colleen. Just take in that fake bake, okay? Come on. In the night, this is 1990, guys, okay? Neon was in. My wife's mom gave birth to her 8 days before she turned 18, and then her mom was divorced by age 21. So for the first half of Colleen's life, it was like a girl raising a little girl all by herself in Brooklyn. And her mother didn't know the Lord at the time. Now today, she has an amazing testimony. I love you, Karen. She's a mom to me. But Colleen remembers, as a six-year-old girl, she remembers her mom taking her to the nightclub Studio 54 on roller skates. Can you imagine that? 6 years old, into a nightclub, Studio 54, kind of crazy, right? So when we married, there we are, it was like two worlds colliding. We came from very different homes, very different parenting styles. Now again, I don't know what kind of family you grew up in, closed, open, or random, but I do know this. You didn't choose your family, did you? Like, you didn't get a choice in the matter. Like, you get what you get and you don't get upset. And the reality is, no matter how good your family wasn't perfect. Universal truth number two, right? We've all got stories to tell, family secrets and squabbles, hurts and conflicts that go on to this day. You know what? That's okay, because there are no examples of a perfect family in the Bible. It's funny, new people show up at church sometimes, and sometimes they're like, oh, you know, Pastor Tim, my family isn't perfect. Let me tell you about the families in the Bible, okay? How about our first set of parents, Adam and Eve? How'd that marriage go, right? Woman calls the shots about what we're gonna eat for dinner. Adam doesn't say anything. Dad stays silent. He tunes out, and then when things fall apart, he blames the woman, you know, right? Literally, the first passive-aggressive husband. Adam and Eve give birth to two boys, Cain and Abel. One was so jealous of the other, he actually murdered his brother, okay? This is like the high water mark for sibling rivalry. Anybody feel tension with your brothers and sisters, okay? How about Joseph? How about that, all right? Super functional. His brothers throw him into a pit and tell their dad that he died in a hunting accident. How many of you are like, I'd like to go Old Testament on my brother or sister, okay? I'm just saying there's no perfect families or parents in the Bible. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, had an extramarital affair. And then he and his son Absalom, they get into a fight so cantankerous, it causes a civil war in Israel. So I always laugh a little bit when somebody says, you know, we need to get back to biblical family values. Really? Like, which ones? There are no good examples of perfect parents or perfect families in the Bible. There's actually only you and me, sinful, broken people who make mistakes and who God forgives. And by his grace, he uses in his plan of redemption in spite of our dysfunction. Amen? So the pressure's off, mom or dad, all right? So I just want to just lower the expectations. Because a lot of parents worry, they're like, oh man, am I messing up my kids? As your pastor, let me answer that. Yes, of course you are. So am I, but that's what therapy's for. No, it's okay. God can redeem your mistakes. And you know what? Biology isn't destiny. You are not automatically gonna make the same mistakes your parents made, but you're gonna need some help. And today I just wanna talk about two things that every family needs, regardless of what kind of family, traditional, blended, that you grew up in, or find yourself in now. A fresh start is possible. You don't have to make the same mistakes your parents made. So what I want to do is open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and you can also find today's message notes on our mobile app. And I want to read an excerpt from a letter, the Apostle Paul. He wrote this to Christians in a city called Colossae around 60 AD while he was in prison in Rome. And my Bible says, instructions for Christian families. And here's what Paul writes. He says, wives, all the ladies, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, men, listen, love your wives and do not be what? Do not be harsh with them. Isn't that interesting that he felt he had to call this out? And then he says what? Children, obey your parents in everything except screen time, for this pleases the Lord. And then it says, fathers, do not what? Embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, isn't this interesting in Colossians? Paul outlines two sets of family relationships. On the one hand, he has husbands and wives, and on the other, parents and children. And in each case, he says family relationships need to orbit around love. He says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. In other words, guys, he's telling us you to be tender, to be affectionate with the girl, not harsh and domineering. Why? Well, the reality is sometimes men can be authoritarian. Paul's like, love your wife, love your kids and children. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You can put the scripture down. Obedience or discipline, where you train your kids to be respectful, to honor others, to obey the rules. In this passage, Paul's shining a spotlight on two things every functional family needs. On the one hand, he's talking about love, and on the other, he's talking about discipline. Everyone say love. Everyone say discipline. Love and discipline, discipline and love, they're two timeless elements every family needs to flourish according to the Word of God. Now, parents, it's not hard to love your kids, right? When they're obedient, right? When they do what you say and what you want and they're meeting all your expectations. But what do you do when they disobey? Well, that's what this is for, right, Tim? You know, the spanking spoon. No. Biblical discipline is a lot more nuanced than that. In fact, in Hebrews 12, it says this. Let's read this together. Big loud voice, church. The Lord what? Disciplines those he loves. In other words, loving discipline is the core quality of the father heart of God. And it's like they're the twin chambers of God's heart, love and discipline. They're related. Think of it like this. I want to draw a little bit today, okay? Think of it like this. Imagine there are two poles of parenting. And what I'm going to draw right here is, and I'm not a great artist, but here's my baseball diamond. How do you like that? That's not bad, actually. And I'm going to draw two foul poles. You know the foul poles, which says whether you're inbounds or out of bounds? Here's the right field foul pole. Here's the left field foul pole. And in many ways, what Paul is saying is he's saying, within the lines of parenting, there are two key things you must have. On the one hand, you must have what? Love. Everyone say love. And on the other, you got to have discipline. These are the two things that every family, regardless of your style, you've got to have. Now, notice something, guys. There's a whole lot of room for different styles of parenting depending on your kid's personality and needs, right? But every family, parents in particular, you got to raise your kids between the foul lines of love on one hand and discipline on the other. In other words, parents, lean in. Yes, you need to be loving. Hey, kids, yes, you can have your friend over on Friday night, but you also have to have limits. No, you can't watch The Exorcist, right? Parents need to be understanding. Hey, I'm so sorry, honey, that you overslept and you're late for school, but you have to have consequences for bad behavior. No, I'm not writing you a note to bail you out. And that may be unpopular, that may feel unloving, but you're instilling limits so they'll thrive as adults. See, love and discipline are the two ingredients necessary for every family to flourish, and there's a reason. Love and discipline, think of it this way, they're the twin chambers of the heart of God himself. For Christians, our model for families comes actually from God. The Lord is our model parent. Jesus calls him our Abba. What does that mean? Our heavenly daddy, our father. And what we know about God from the Bible is that he's a parent of both love and discipline. Listen to what 1 John 4:8 says. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. He's personified. So your heavenly father is the only perfectly loving parent you will ever have. Your father in heaven conceived you in love. Your earthly parents may not have planned you, but God did. Scripture says the father delights in you. He rejoices over you. He sings over you like a little baby. In other words, he's radiating his warmth, his tenderness, his affection at you right now, whether you feel it or not. And for those who put their trust in his son, Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God forever. This is good news, amen? God is what? God is what? He is, he's love. But now watch this. Scripture says, what does the Lord do? He disciplines those he loves. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his what? As his children. For what children aren't disciplined by their father? So here's the problem, guys. When most of us think of parents disciplining their kids, we're thinking of punishment. When a child misbehaves, what do, parents, right? Well, you may not use a spoon, but you react. You put them in timeout. You send them to their room. I'm taking away your phone. You probably do something similar to what your parents did or said to you. But punishment and discipline, These are not the same thing, okay? Discipline does not equal punishment. Very, very different according to the Bible. Punishment is focused on payback. You did something bad, and now something bad is going to happen to you. How's that work on you, right? But this is how most parents do it. They say, hey, you lied to your mother, now you lose your PlayStation. Hey, you broke curfew and you came home late, now you're grounded for the weekend. Punishment is payback, and often in poor parenting, unrelated to the offense. Like, what does losing your PlayStation have to do with lying? But in the Bible, discipline is very different than punishment. Punishment says you broke the rules. Discipline says you broke the relationship. You broke trust with me. And that's the goal of loving discipline. It teaches your child to repair the relationship they damaged. So parents, lean in. When your little sinner breaks trust with you and others, and they will, your job is to actually discipline them. And discipline literally means to train or teach how to restore the relationship. Think of it this way. Loving discipline fights for the relationship, not over the rules. Loving discipline is what actually makes a child better, not bitter. Punishment is what makes a kid bitter, right? I can't believe dad came down and said, and you know what? It makes them bitter and teaches them actually just be more careful and hide your sin next time. Now, I realize right now some of you are like, I don't know. This discipline stuff sounds harsh and it feels negative to you because you recall being mistreated maybe as a kid or treated in a harsh way as a teenager or a student. But your Heavenly Father is a source of perfect love. And that means he doesn't inflict pain to punish you. Instead, God disciplines to develop you. God's goal for your life is to grow you up as from a child into a responsible, mature, confident, and compassionate adult, which is really the goal of any loving parent, isn't it? I mean, here's the challenge. You're like, Tim, you don't understand my crazy family or my kids. I get it. Discipline looks different for different kinds of kids, all right? I think of my own children. Can I show you a throwback photo? Look at this throwback photo. This goes back, about 10 years. I know. Come on. Oh, look how young they look. I'm talking about me, okay, and Colleen. Chase, our oldest, here, she's about 11 or 10. She's a classic firstborn, okay, total rule keeper, obedient, compliant, verbal. And as a little girl, if I even raised my voice, Chase, to correct her, she'd cry, okay? Don't even bother, like, with a spoon. Just don't even raise your voice. She was such a sensitive soul. My son Dell, on the other hand, all right, he's around 8 in this photo, and you can see the mischief in his eyes. And as a dad, I gave him the biological gift of ADHD. You're welcome. And so when he was little, discipline needed to be very, very swift, very clear, but also very warm because he has a sensitive spirit. So we always had to reassure him that we love you, son, before I threw his Xbox in the garbage. You had to reassure him. And it's funny, right, because it changes. When Chase was in her teen years, I had to take a whole different approach. If I wanted to talk about something important with her, I'd have to go up to her room, and the door was, of course, closed. I'd have to knock on the door, even though it's my house. I just honor that. And then, you know, this is it. I come in, and I would sit down on her beanbag, you know? And then I'd have to be like, oh, is this Taylor Swift's new album? Who's she dating? You know, I had to talk about Taylor Swift for 15 minutes. And she'd be like, you tickle my back, because she's a high touch kid. And I'd tickle her back and I'd be like, how you doing, honey? Mom said you had like a tough day. By the way, I still do this with her mother. Okay, it works the same way. Put on Taylor Swift, tickle her back, all doors are open. What's my point? There's not a one size fits all parenting style. All our kids are different, just the way all of God's children are different. And there's lots of ways. Watch this. This, I just want to know, I'm not going to paint by numbers here. There's a lot of variety, all sorts of flexibility and ways to honor the personality and raise kids who flourish in the end. But when your child disobeys, lies to your face. Has ever had a kid lie to your face? You're like, you tell them the truth. You're like, absolutely. You're just like, I can't believe this. Or they're disrespectful, right? They get their learner's permit and you go to their car and you start talking to them. They're like, bzzz, and put up the window and drive off. They're gonna disrespect you at some point. The goal of loving discipline is to teach your child to repair the relationship they damaged. In other words, relationship instead of rules. This is a life skill they will need later in life for a successful marriage themselves. For friendships, how to keep friends. Careers, navigating difficult people. Raising their own kids. And I realize I'm talking right now to parents, but this is broader application, guys, to all of our lives. because some of you are grandparents. You're watching your kids raise kids. Some of you are aunts or uncles. You're actually the cool one in the family that the kids look up to and listen to dad. They look at uncle, fill the blank, or aunt, whoever. Or maybe you work in Liquid Family. You serve in our kids' ministry. You coach our children, our teens. First off, can we hear it, by the way, for our Liquid Family volunteers? So grateful for you. You are shaping the next generation. But the point is, it applies to anyone with influence in a kid's life. And there's great freedom in raising kids. But if you neglect love or you neglect discipline, you will fail to represent Abba faithfully in his fullness to your children. Think of how the Bible describes Jesus, your Savior, your Lord. You know what John 1:17 says? Here are the two qualities. Grace and what? Truth came through Jesus. Think of it this way. You guys know what grace is, right? Grace is love, but it's not any kind of love. It's this radical, unconditional kind of love. Doesn't depend on your performance. The Father loves you unconditionally. Even when you break the rules, his mercy and love covers your sins. That's God's grace. But watch, God also gives us his what? His truth. God's truth, his word, actually spotlights where we go wrong and need correction. And so like any good parent, out of love, God gives us rules and he gives us boundaries to flourish as adults. Grace and truth, love and discipline, two sides of the same coin. And it's not either and, folks. It's a both and. Effective parenting lives in this tension between grace and truth in this sweet spot. I'm telling you, parents, if you will raise your kids in the tension of these two biblical boundaries, they will stay rooted and they will grow healthy because they will know they're loved, but they will also know that there are limits. By the way, that's why Colleen and I, when we were deciding like the core values of our church, you know where they came from? Right here. Grace wins. Truth is what? Relevant. We said we want it to be the embodiment, the twin chambers of Jesus's heart that lead this church. As a spiritual father, you guys know this. I love you enough to tell you the truth. So here's the truth, parents. Each of you, including me, has a bias. We pull the ball to the left or we pull the ball to the right based on the home you were raised in, based on your family of origin. Typically, we skew towards one of these foul poles. We're going to be very, very disciplined. We're going to be very strict. I'm going to pull the ball on my right like my dad did. You know, we're going to be super disciplined. Or my dad was way too harsh. He was like a Marine sergeant. I'm going to be the fun dad. We're going to go, okay? We don't want chore charts and consequences. If this describes your family, my family was way too strict. It was obsessed with rules, forgot about relationship. A lot of times, you pull the ball this way. I'm going to be the fun parent. I'm going to be besties with my daughter. We're going to go Taylor Swift together. And we're just going to be best friends. We're going to have a lot of laughs and everything's just going to work out for her. How's that working out? Like those of you who grew up in a home without limits, without boundaries, without disciplines, how's that working out? See, the danger, parents, is that when you pull the ball, when you emphasize one to the neglect of the other, is you drift into two distortions. On the one hand, you either become the perfectionist parent, where everything, all-star expectations, all sorts of rules, and you demand perfection that no kid can live up to. Or you become the permissive parent, where, well, we're friends, you know, we just want the kids to be happy, and so we let them do whatever they want. Let me describe this to you. Permissive parenting is a family where anything goes. There's three qualities. No boundaries. I remember we had some family friends come over. They're not in this church. But they came over, they had a bunch of kids, and I'll never forget this, when that minivan pulled up in our driveway, it opened up, and it was like the circus came to town. It's like the kids poured out, and one of them, two of them doesn't have shirts on, they're screaming, they're already running after the dog, they run into our house, they got their sneakers on, they're jumping on the couch and everything, and the mom's like, oh, these guys are just so crazy, and you can see it, like, come on, guys, we, you know, let's be... There was like no discipline. Like, that's okay. I don't mind. Like, I love fun. I get down on the floor and play with them. But it was like so chaotic. They almost destroyed the house. Permissive parenting is where there's like little accountability or follow through. And you end up with things like, guys, one more time and I'm going to take that screen away. One more time. Well, you know, I'm just too tired. Kids will be kids. No boundaries. And watch this, low expectations. In other words, the only expectation for the parent is keeping that child happy and content. That's what's important. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. pain and consequences? Let's avoid that. So you overslept, sweetheart, and you're late again to school. Well, I'll write you a note. Practice is getting hard, honey. You can quit the piano. You can quit the team. You know what? We go to church as a family, like, you know, when we can, but we don't always. It's hard. The kids love their sports on weekends, you know? And watch this. What masquerades as love is actually permissive parenting. You're trying to love your kids without correction. That's one lopsided distortion. On the other side, you have perfectionist parenting, a family that emphasizes rules over relationship. With perfectionist parenting, you've got many rules because here it is. Listen to me, parents. Biggest mistake you can make is your goal for your child to be well-behaved. I mean, so many Christians, we just want a well-behaved child. Out and home, at church, in public, they got to act the right way. Some of you grew up in this, yeah? You got to always say the right thing. Don't embarrass the family. You got to smile a certain ways in photos. Look happy, everybody. Look, I said look happy, right? In the perfectionist home, if you fall short expectations, ooh, watch out. There's a harsh punishment. Harsh punishment. And you know what? It's not the spanking spoon. Punishment is worse. Don't disappoint me that way again. And this is tragic because oftentimes perfectionist parents withdraw their delight from their child, their approval. If you don't perform, love is withheld. And understand, there's all-star expectations. Second best is not enough. In this house, we are raising winners, okay? You need to be all-state. Don't you waste that gift. You, first chair, straight A's. It's Tiger Mom. You better get the scholarship. And guess, I love when parents go like this, like, hey, did you hear we made all-state or we got into Princeton? P.S. timeout. That's a flag, parents. Whenever you find yourself talking about your kids, you say, we did this or we did that, you're probably pulling the ball to the right. You're overinvested. You see how this works, Mom and Dad? Love and discipline. If you neglect one to the other, the effect is toxic to our family. I remember when our kids were in high school and they started getting invited to parties. And we always told our kids, we just had an agreement. We said, listen, we're gonna let you go to some of these gatherings, but here's the deal, two rules. If there's no parents, you come home. And if there's alcohol, you come home. And what we told our kids is, you always blame us. That's a parenting hack, by the way, parents. You always give your kids an out and say, tell your friends, blame us, okay? In other words, we tell our kids, we say, just say, oh crap, my parents just found out there's a party. They're so pissed. I have to get home or they're going to kill me. All right? You blame us. And they would. And so I remember one night, one of our kids comes home early. I think we were junior in high school. And we're like, hey, you're home early. Is everything okay? And they're like, well, there's a lot of beer at the party. And we're like, oh man, their parents weren't home? And they said, no, they were home. Where do you think they got the beer? I was like, what? What? Yeah, their parents bought the beer and gave it to us in the basement. And I'm like, wait, what? And the parents actually told the kids, hey, lean in. We know you're going to drink, but we want you to be safe. So as long as you stay here in our house, no driving, you can party, okay? And I was shocked at first, but I then found out it's a thing, okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about, especially in New Jersey, okay? Parents rationalize, well, the kids are going to be kids, and they're going to drink anyway. So as long as they're not driving, just collect their keys, they can be safe in the house. It's insane. Can I just say this? I'm sorry, as your pastor, you are ruining your kids. Think of what you are teaching them, right? First, it's okay to break the law, right? Like, hello, like you can laugh, but like underage drinking is illegal and you're legally responsible, by the way. Secondly, here's, ready guys? Kids, lean in. It's safe to drink as long as you don't drive. When in reality, most of the kids slept over because they got so drunk they passed out, they blacked out. And then finally, parents, you get to wink at your kids because you actually lack a spine to stand up and safeguard them. And the tragedy is while you think you're being loving, you're really being lax. Is that too much? Is that too harsh? I felt like that was a little harsh coming out. You're getting my Papa Bear here. Listen, by the way, one of those families who hosted, their child ended up in the hospital from binge drinking before he finished high school. Listen to me. Permissive parents try to love their kids without correction, or won't employ boundaries. And if you don't set limits now, let me tell you, later on, your kids will feel unloved. They will test them because the Lord disciplines those he loves. On the other hand, perfectionist parents, they try to correct their kids, but without the love, the warmth, the affection, the grace. They discipline kids just for being immature. I remember in my church growing up, we had some pretty legalistic families. I'll remember this one set of parents who actually punished their kid for talking during the sermon. I'm not kidding. Like just for being immature, okay? Someone farts in the pew and all the kids laugh, and literally grounded him for 2 weeks. Was like, well, we're gonna have you copy down Leviticus word for word. Because if you embarrass the family, you get punished. And perfectionist parents will do the same thing, by the way, with school. If you screw up, or heaven forbid, you get a C, shame. Personal love is conditional based on your performance. So guess what kind of kids you get? You get kids who will be outwardly compliant, but inside their hearts grow bitter, which is why Paul writes, fathers, what's he say? Do not embitter your children, or they'll become discouraged. Can I hit pause, talk to the men here? Dads, would-be dads, future dads, anyone with a dad? Men, listen to me. I get it, okay? I'm a dad. When kids disobey, and they will, and when kids disrespect you, and they will, I get that your inner instinct is like me. It's to be like Darth Vader. Crush the rebellion, right? And so we come down hard. We assert the authority. You're not going to talk to your mother like that. And I get it. But understand, dads, your words weigh 500 pounds. Mom weighs 50s. But when you correct your kids, you don't have compassion. You don't crush the rebellion. You crush their spirit. Crush their spirit. You win the fight, but you lose your kid. Do you see how balanced this is? You have to have love and discipline, grace and truth together in dynamic tension. Both are essential for a child to flourish and fully reflect the Abba, Father, heart of God to your kid. Now, I know this is raising all sorts of questions for you, okay? I was like, I'm going to stir it up a little this Sunday, but we're going to get to this. We're going to get in the next couple weeks. There are all sorts of challenges, right? Because this is the 21st century. In my day, right, binge drinking was the big problem, okay? But today, as a parent, you gotta be worried about technology. Like, what age do I give my child a smartphone? Should I let them on social media? How do I limit their screen time? Or some of you are saying, what about mental health? You know, kids today are having record levels of anxiety and depression. As a parent, how do you factor that in? How do you should discipline with a depressed child? And I know you got questions about sexuality and gender, right? Like what happens when a kid comes out, when they come in and say, mom or dad, I'm trans, queer, bi, you fill in the blank. There's so many challenges confronting families today. And guys, that's why we're excited to host our first ever Parent Summit on Sunday, September 24th. Our Liquid family and our next gen teams have put together an amazing lineup of outside experts to come help equip parents like you for better conversations with your kids and teenagers. Now, this event is geared towards parents of elementary, okay, if you've got elementary kids, middle school, high school, okay, it's not for the parents of like toddlers, you're not there yet, all right? We'll pray for you. But we're gonna help you navigate some of these thorny parenting topics like mental health, sexual identity, sexual integrity. Colleen and I are gonna be there. We can't wait to help host those conversations. We're gonna have thought leaders like Will Hutcherson. He's a mental health expert who literally wrote the book on healing anxiety in kids and teens. Now, this parenting summit, as you see there on the screen, it is Sunday night, September 24th, 5:30 to 8:30 at our broadcast campus in Parsippany. And parents, we will provide dinner for you because we just want you to think of it as date night. Just come, we're gonna give you dinner. Tickets are $30 and just visit liquidchurch.com/summit and you can sign up to register. I'm really looking forward to these conversations on that Sunday night. Now, the reality is all families, whether you have a biological family or you're in this church family, we lead this church with grace, love. You're gonna feel loved here. People like, man, this place is like a force field of love. I see people are sincere in their affection and care for me. But we're also going to tell you the truth. And you've got to have love and discipline and perfect tension if you're gonna navigate these topics. So let me end with a question today as you look back on the family you grew up in. Which way would you say your parents pulled the ball? Okay, left or right? Did they pull it more towards love or discipline? I want you to talk about that over lunch today. Talk about it if you're married or with your significant other, whatever. Or here's a better question. If you're raising a family of your own, if you've got influence in a child's life, which way do you instinctively pull the ball? Are you more the discipline truth? Do you have a perfectionist tendency or more permissive parenting style? Because typically, guys, We're weak in one and we're strong in the other, depending on what was modeled to us. So think about your family of origin. What gifts did your parents give you that, you know what, you want to keep? I got a lot of them. There's a lot of things my parents taught me I want to keep. What mistakes did they make that you want to leave behind with God's help? Now, I think of my own dad. I've talked to you about him before. He was kind of a line drive hitter. He tried to raise my brother and I in center field, equal measures of love and discipline. You know, I told you that story, but it bears repeating because there's something in it I've never told you. I told you about the summer I was 10, my brother was 15, and we went to vacation in Lake George. And after a week on the lake, our family began driving home to New Jersey in our banana yellow station wagon with the wood paneling. And we stopped at a gas station to fill up the car, and there's a vending machine selling Cokes. And you guys remember my brother and me, we were like, Dad, can we get a soda? And he gave us 2 quarters each, 50 cents. And we put it in, and it's like, nothing came out. And so we both took the machine, we're like, you know, shaking it, you know, we're little kids. And my brother's like, Brett, stick your hand up and get our, you know, soda. I stuck my hand up there, and I felt a little button. He's like, hit it. And I'm like, and a Coke came out. And he's like, do it again. Again. And we have 15 cans of Coca-Cola, sun-kissed orange, made me hyper. We hit our loot in the backseat of the station wagon. Dad fills a car. We take off for home. We're driving for 2 hours. And by that time, my brother and I are all sugared up from drinking stolen soda. We're like burping. We're laughing. I'm hyper going off the wall. And my father, God bless him, he's a man of love, but also discipline. He hears these cans rattling around the back seat. And so he says, you guys still got soda left? He pulls over, opens our back door, and all these Coke cans fall all over the side of the highway. And he realized it had been a heist. It's like, where'd you get all these sodas? And my brother was like, we borrowed them? Now, this is a moment of decision. Because my father was patient, but he was pissed. And guys, I'm a dad now. I think about what I would have done. We were 90 miles over an hour and a half away from that gas station headed home. And my dad could have been, watch this, he could have been permissive and said, boys will be boys, you know? Or he could have been punitive and took off his belt and whipped us. But my dad had a different idea. He got back in the car, put it in reverse. He actually pulled a U-turn in our yellow station wagon. And we drove 90 minutes back to the gas station. And we're like, Dad, where are we going? He said, we are going to make this right. And that was the longest ride of my life, hour and a half back. We pull in and I'm like, Dad, I'm scared. I'm like, I'm crying. You know, I was 10 years old. And he gets out of the car and he puts his arms around me and my brother. He goes, it's going to be okay. He goes, I'm going to go with you. And he marches us up to the manager. He says, sir, my boys have something to confess to you. Go ahead. And he started with my brother, Ted, because he's older. And my brother's like, I'm so sorry, sir. We borrowed all these Coke cans. And no, come on. And he's like, no, I'm sorry. We stole these Coke cans. And the gas station manager was like, well, it's all right. My father's like, no, it's not. We're here to make it right. And count out $7.50 to cover our stolen stash. We walked back to the station wagon in total silence. My brother looked petrified because he was a criminal mastermind. I was 10, I start crying, and my dad got down before he got in the back. He said, look at me, boys. And he held us by the shoulders, and he looked us in the eyes, and he says, don't forget what I'm about to tell you. Integrity is what men do when no one's watching. I won't always be with you, but your Father in heaven is always with you. So act like men. Make him proud. Make me proud. And we piled into the family station wagon, began driving home, and discussed our summer repayment plan, which involved mowing lawns and cutting grass that summer. And that was 40 years ago, but it burned in my brain forever. You know, there's teachable moments. That was a defining moment. Because my dad wasn't a perfect parent, but he was a godly man who understood the father heart of God. And he was a father who, watch this, loved us enough to discipline us. He set clear boundaries for me and my brother. There were consequences for our sin. But notice something, his love covered over. He didn't shame us, he didn't blow up, he didn't guilt us. Instead, he paid our debt to the station manager and restored our relationship on the way home. If you take nothing away today, remember the goal of loving discipline. It's to teach your child to repair the relationship they damage. If you think of what my dad did there, he used our sin to teach us how to restore our relationship by confessing, here's how you own your failure, here's how you accept the blame, you don't shift it. He taught us how to apologize. You ever have kids that are like, say you're sorry, and they're like, sorry, does that ever help? It's like, no, I am sorry for, you name it, child, you own it, you ask for forgiveness. And then he taught us about restitution. What can I do to repair what I ripped off? How do I make this right? In short, my dad taught us how to repent properly, a vital skill we would need as adults and husbands and fathers ourselves one day. It was a defining moment, because what I realize, this is why so many of you are like, man, I always remember that story, because that story reflects the gospel. Guys, on the cross, what did Jesus do? Jesus took all of the Father's discipline, and out of love, he covered your sin. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made or ways you've failed. When you put your trust in Christ on the cross, sin doesn't just break God's rules, it breaks his heart. And on the cross, Jesus makes restitution for our sins. And then when we repent, our relationship with our Father is restored. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. Think about it, Brian. It's incredible. The cross is the essence of loving discipline. God put his relationship with you above and before you breaking the rules. And if you allow his loving discipline in your life, he'll give you new patterns for living and parenting. Those of you with kids today, hey, you got a huge task ahead of you. This is the greatest responsibility you will ever know in life. And loving discipline looks different at every age and stage, as you'll see next week. Next week, I'm gonna get specific, very practical, about how to love your kids with discipline and discipline your kids with love. Sound good? Let me pray for us, church. Bow your heads with me, would you? Father, we thank you that we can call you Abba. You really are our daddy God. You fashioned us, you knit us together in our mother's womb, and you conceived us and breathed life into us, and you named us as a father. And behold, we're called children of God. And I thank you, Father, for loving us enough to send your son. Jesus, thank you for coming, putting your arms around us in our mistakes and our shame, and taking all the discipline of a holy God out of love for us so that we could have a restored relationship with you. Father, we pray now for your grace, and I pray for your truth to be on and over and in our moms and our dads, our grandmas and grandpas, every adult under the sound of my voice, that we would raise our children with equal measures of love and discipline, grace and truth, as we show them the twin chambers of your Father's heart. I ask that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.